Long green bootlaces swayed in the dreamy current. Bees bumbled and worried little heads of flowers, stalks bent under their weight. Daniel eyed them nervously. Belly down at the edge of the stream, he felt it flow through his fingers and wondered where in the ground the hole was that swallowed up so much water. "Don't go off looking for it, Danny," his mother had said, "or you might find it and never be seen again. Ever." The shadow of his head and shoulders blotted out the sun so that he could see the underwater world. Tiny grits tumbled like soundless rocks and crashed into living things that crawled. The crawlies did not seem to mind and kept on moving onwards, as if all that mattered was their journey, as if silent bumps and bangs were only to be expected. At that moment, he saw the blue and orange bird go breezing by downstream, and then heard his mother's laughter. She was lying in the long grass, wrestling Uncle Eamon. He heard her shout, "Eamon, no! Eamon, we can't! Would you ever stop?" And then she laughed again. Daniel wanted to run to her and drag her here by the hand to see the blue-backed orange bird. But not with Uncle Eamon there. He was not a real uncle. He looked to where the bird had disappeared into shade. He stood up and wiped his hands on his t-shirt. A block of words on the front read, "Keep this side up." It was a present from his father. His dad came for walkie-talkies once a month on Sundays, for swings in the park, a burger and chips, a big ice cream cone with chocolate, then to the train station holding hands. His mother would be waiting. "Don't you ever leave him alone," his father said. She creased her mouth into a prune and made big wide eyes. Then his father waved from the window and the train raced off, back to Dublin. "Going, going, gone," his mother would say, while tears rushed into Daniel's eyes. "Big men, 6 years old, don't cry," his mother said. His mother did not cry. She did not leave Daniel alone at home either. Not since the time she found two pools of sick dried up in the hearth. That was last year. Daniel was 5 and he was mighty. Everybody called him the big man because he started learning at the primary school. What happened was, his mother put him to bed early because Uncle Eamon was calling. Later, she came to tuck him in for the night and take away his game machine and kiss his ear. "That's enough of that," she said. "Now get to sleep." When she went downstairs, Daniel sat up in bed, reached for his drawing book and his magic pencil, and drew a man with his arms reaching up under a tree. Trees were easy to draw. All you did was make 2 lines straight up, add a few squiggly lines sticking out in all directions. Then you dipped the pencil into water and it changed colour to make the leaves. Magic. Only he didn't have any water, so he licked the pencil point and dabbed the paper to make purple leaves on grey branches. When he finished, he went to the toilet. He wet the seat. Reaching for a towel to wipe it dry, he saw himself in the mirror. His lips were purple. He opened his mouth and saw no teeth. No, wait. He had teeth, but they were purple. He stuck out his tongue, and that was purple. That scared him. His mother had told him, "Never, ever put a magic pencil in your mouth." He stared at his reflection. He was poisoned. Mikey Williams had told him all about pencils. "They can kill you stone dead. They're full of Germans." And there they were. Purple Germans. He ran out onto the landing and yelled, "Mammy! Mammy! Mammy!" No answer. He went downstairs, tripping on the trailing legs of his pyjamas. He pushed the kitchen door and stared fearfully at the gleaming blackness. He ran to the front room. Empty. The television was on. A man was talking in a low voice. When he stopped, people laughed. As he ran about, Daniel's pyjama bottom slipped free. He hardly noticed. He dragged a chair into the hallway and then climbed up to open the latch on the front door. Outside, he stood on the top step and called plaintively, "Mammy! Mammy!" But nobody came. Not even a dog. He wondered how soon it would be before he was dead. He knew he was dying because he started to shiver. His teeth rattled in his head. A motor car went by, headlights shining. People stared from a bus. He waved and shouted, "Mammy! Mammy!" Nothing. Nobody. He went inside and closed the door. He switched off the television because you could not tell people on television anything when they were laughing. They never listened. But without the moving picture, he felt more alone than ever. He sat cross-legged in front of the fire and held his hands towards the warm orange-blue embers. Hot tears rolled down his cheeks. He wept because there was no one to watch him die. If only his father was there, he could hold his hand until the time came. And then he threw up. Twice. On both sides of the fireplace. It looked like porridge with carrots and tomatoes. When he finished, he went up to his room and climbed into bed and sat upright with his eyes open, big and wide. He wondered what it would be like when he started to float upwards, through the ceiling, up, up into the sky, up to heaven, with all the angels and aunts and uncles and grandma and Paddywhack, his dad's pet dog, that had been put down when he went away. When his mother's voice reached him the following morning, he dragged himself to the bathroom to splash water on the sand in his eyes. With eyes as round as marbles, he stared at himself in the mirror, then stuck out his tongue. He was not dead after all. Most of the Germans had gone. He rubbed them hard with his pinkies. All it needed was water. Amazed, he dressed and went downstairs for porridge and toast. His mother watched him closely. When he floated the porridge in the milk and turned it into a merry-go-round, she didn't say, "Stop playing with your food and eat it." She didn't even remark about the tide marks on his neck or the spuds growing out of his ears. She said, "Are you all right?" Daniel nodded and slopped his porridge down. She even gave him a broken chocolate biscuit from the secret box high up in the cupboard and an apple to go with his cold toast and marmalade for school. She went to the door to see him off. On the step she said, "What happened to you last night?" But Daniel just cocked his head sideways and said, "Nothing." "Danny," she said, and gave him a wet one on his cheek. He rubbed it off on the way to Mikey Williams' house. Mikey was older and knew about all kinds of things. Walking to school, Daniel told him all about the pencil. Mikey said Daniel could not have licked the right kind of pencil if he was still alive. "I did so," Daniel said. "I was magic." From that day, forever, Daniel went off the colour purple. Orange was his favourite colour now. He looked about for the blue and orange bird. If only he could fly, he could catch the bird. A bird would be better than Sticky Sam Frog, who jumped when you never expected. Better than the sticky balloon he found in the woods once and took to school to show teacher. "If you don't mind," Miss Anastasia said, "I'll take that from my special collection." She lifted it from his hand on the tip of a felt pen and then left the classroom in a hurry. She was gone for several minutes. When she returned, she said, "No more of those, thank you, Daniel. We have enough." "But it was a good balloon," Daniel said. "I blew it up." "Oh, my God," she said. "Go, go out at once and give your hands a good scrub and then wash out your mouth. But, miss, thoroughly." Tired of sitting beside the stream, Daniel wandered up the hill to the conker tree. When he saw the size of the conkers in their green shells high up in the leaves, he looked for something to knock them down. But no stick or stone could be found. Maybe, he wondered, if he gave the tree a big hug and asked it nicely. He walked crabwise round the tree, claws spread, and whispered little words of encouragement. "All you have to do," he told the tree, "is to give a little shake and drop some conkers down." He put his ear to the bark and listened for a signal from the tree to say it understood. And it happened. Something ran into his ear and started to tickle. Whatever it was moved fast, because when he jumped back, the thing was still in there. He poked at his ear with his finger. He jabbed at it. It went on tickling. This, he realised, was the tree's answer. It was like a messenger from the enemy. But if it was inside him, where would it go? It was another mystery, like where was the hole that swallowed the river? His ear no longer tickled, but stung like a nettle. Terror unfolded its wings and beat the hot and heavy air around him. He opened his mouth to shout, but no words came. It was as if his mouth was stuck at the capital letter O. Chin on chest, shoulders drooping, arms stiff and fists balled at his side, Daniel pumped his legs over the ground. He knew exactly where his mother lay wrestling Uncle Eamon. Like a bee-stung piglet, bleary-eyed and squealing, he crashed through the tall grass and almost fell over a moon bouncing. It belonged to Uncle Eamon. Since he was on top of Daniel's mother, it looked as if Uncle Eamon was winning the wrestling match. But Daniel didn't care. He yelled the terrible news. "There's a spider in me ear, walking around. He's eating me brain." Uncle Eamon made a strange sound as he pulled the grey cloud of his pants over the moon and slipped sideways and shuddered like a ball that had punctured. His mother tugged her dress to her knees and sat up. Her eyes were hard as stones. "Come here," she said. "I'll give you something in your ear. Come here. I'll give you a bloody something you'll never forget." Daniel jumped and backed away. "I swear I'll spifflicate him with my bare hands. Just see if I won't." Daniel turned and ran and did not look back. He ran to the stream and flopped at its edge, breathless and hot. He paddled his hands in the water and wept. When the blue bird with the orange belly landed on a rock meters away, Daniel did not notice. The tickling in his ear had stopped, and so had his tears. He was thinking. He was wondering why grown-ups liked to wrestle, and how trees said no, and where the hole was that swallowed the river.
That was "O Danny Boy" by Peter McNiff, read by Aaron Monaghan and produced by Aoife Ní Cormac. A shortlisted story from the 2014 RTE Radio Francis McManus Short Story Competition. The series of this year's 25 shortlisted stories continues tomorrow with "Silver Cup" by Fergal O'Byrne, read by Andrew Bennett. The shortlisted stories can be heard on the programme website on rte.ie/radio1/Francis McManus Short Story. The series producer of the Francis McManus Short Story Competition is Cliona Ní Onlún.